And welcome back to the Odd Man Rush, our NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com. And we are continuing once again our divisional preview podcast. Today we're going to take a look at the Pacific Division. This is Greg Simluk, and I'm joined by Aaron Brown and Wes Goldstein. Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
All right. So after that enthusiastic welcome, let's jump right into it. And we have big news coming out of the Pacific Division with San Jose acquiring Danny Heatley from the Ottawa Senators. So let's kind of touch on that subject first, as it has the potential to impact the division greatly.
Well, you know, a team that has had a reputation for being character challenged has now brought in a player who has a reputation for being character challenged.
You
know,
sure.
I mean, from that point of view, obviously, you say it's a little strange, but the reality is Danny Heatley is a really, really good hockey player. He scores a lot of goals. He's going to add a lot to that offense. So you can see it from that point of view. San Jose had to do something dramatic to change the dynamics there. I mean, you're talking about a team that's been a regular season elite for who knows how long now, going back, you know, really for most of this decade, but they can't seem to get anywhere in the playoffs. And I think last year was the bitterest pill of all to swallow, and they won the President's Trophy and got bounced in the first round. So there was going to be, you know, they needed changes. They're trying to change some of the dynamics. They stripped Patrick Marleau of the C. Mm-hmm. They stripped Joe Thornton of the assistant captain of the A. So they're sending messages, bringing Heatley in. You know, maybe they're telling them, look, we're going for it now. This is your last shot, boys. But Heatley certainly is a talent. And if you look at a trade, just on the basis of who got the best player, that's the team that won, San Jose for sure.
Yeah, the thing that sticks out, you know, for this in this deal for me is that, you know, how is this going to play with Thornton? Obviously, you're going to put Heatley on the top line. I imagine it would be a waste to let him sink. And it's like a match made in heaven. You've got a guy who can finish, and then you've got a guy who can – you know, set up anybody and his brother. And now Thornton actually has a guy who is a consistent finisher. I don't think
sure.
he, you know, we saw some great things out of Jonathan Chychu when Thornton first got there, but then Chychu fell off the map.
He got hurt. He has hernia problems.
Yeah. I mean, same with Marleau. Marleau can be that guy, but there's a consistency issue. So now you have a guy in Heatley that he finishes, and I think it makes the Sharks incredibly dangerous. I think, going into like thinking of what was going to happen with the Pacific Division before this trade, I think there was no question it was going to be a really tight battle between the Ducks and the Sharks. I think the Sharks just pushed themselves a little bit further now.
Maybe. I think the Sharks had a really good offense last year. I don't think, mm-hmm. you know, to me, it's the elements of that team were not the problem. I mean, they had what they needed. They had the offense, they had defense, they had goaltending, they had special teams. They just there's an intangible that you can't put your finger on that, you know, where players have to rise and to kind of take their game to the next level when the game's online in the playoffs. That's where the Sharks miss. And I don't know that as good as Heatley is, and he has been very good, if he's the player, especially given, you know, the way his – and maybe, you know, maybe his attitude is exaggerated to a large degree. But certainly he's shown himself publicly to be a me-first kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And taking a guy like that into playoffs doesn't necessarily make the team better in my mind.
I do agree with that. I even kind of wondered about, well, is he going to be a cancer in the locker room? But there were two things that made me think, no, that what we saw this summer is over. The first one is that the Sharks win.
Right.
I mean, the Sharks are, like you say, a regular season elite, and
right.
that is something that for a while the Senators were, but that era was before Heatley got there. I think that they were, you know, considered
well,
a regular.
They got to the finals with him, and he was one of their best players in the playoffs.
They did, but you know the era I'm talking about, like before
yes.
the lockout. Yeah. So that's the first thing. He's on a team that is definitely an elite team. The second thing, as we mentioned with some other players, it's an Olympic year. He wants to play. He's got to give them their best. He's you know, just got to put his best on the ice every single night to prove that he's worthy of making Team Canada.
He might get Thornton on the team because Thornton's a long shot right now to make Team Canada, and I think that puts the two of them together and they really click. You're going to see a line
yep.
combination.
We've seen that in the past.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So right there, you know, it could be something that transforms him, that he ends up not being the spoiled brat we saw over the summer. So I think that is really, really huge. And as far as the issues with the guys in the the postseason, the three guys last year that stuck out to me who were absent at the most crucial times were Thornton, Marlowe, and Nabokov. Mm-hmm. And again, if you maybe get one of those guys, maybe it starts, you know, falling down to some of the other players. And if not, then it really sticks out as to who's the problem and time to look elsewhere for help. So.
And a general manager, a new general
manager.
That's
true.
Because yeah.
Yeah,
could be. Could be, right? He's the one that's brought these guys in. And you know, we've all seen the tremendous success they've had in the regular mm-hmm. season just fall by the wayside. And it's been quite an interesting story to see over the last few years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's stay and within the Atlantic, the Pacific, and shoot over to our next big story coming out of the Pacific Division. That's the Phoenix Coyotes, who are having just you know, a nightmarish go of things of late, and this doesn't even involve a single player, or you know, or the game of hockey itself to a degree. So obviously they're having some issues with ownership.
Some,
to say the least.
The very least.
But let's you know, do we want to address this, or do we want to just stick to their place in the division?
Well, their play. I don't think you can separate the two, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, because really what's right. happened to that team and the mess that's going through, they didn't make very many really minor tweaks, getting in very inexpensive third and fourth line role type players.
Yep.
You know, minimizing their cost, because this entire summer, really since May, has been spent in bankruptcy proceedings. Who's going to own the team? Where is the team going to be? The players keep telling, you know, they have to basically concentrate on playing their game. But it's unrealistic not to think that this is not sticking in everybody's mind. Like,
yeah.
even guys who are, you know, for guys who have families, it's really tough. Because
sure,
the players,
sure.
the kids are in school, are going to be here next year, this and that. The younger players who are single, yeah, okay, you move. It's not
what
that big
a
deal.
Yeah,
but
right.
still, the idea of not knowing where you are, you know, they came into training camp without their coach because Wayne Gretzky, who is the greatest icon the game has ever had, is stuck in the middle of this, and nobody knows what the outcome will be for him in terms of the future, but he's in limbo. He wasn't there at the start of training camp, which, you know, is an incredible situation. And it's, you know, it's really bad for Phoenix moving forward. They'll probably be in Phoenix this year. It seems like it'll be almost impossible to move the team regardless mm-hmm. who ends up owning it.
Right, right.
But, you know, what are they going to be doing? They're going to play in front of like 500 people. If you know your team's gone,
it's going to be
hard
even
to
worse
drop.
This year.
Yeah,
sure.
It's going to be tough. And they're not a better team than they were last time. I mean, they're younger. They got their year's experience. But, wow, what a mess.
No, it's just an absolute fiasco. And to some degree, I will consider it a successful season for the Coyotes if they finish the season. I mean, yeah. I know that sounds awful, but
82 games we played.
Yeah, I mean, that's a moral victory right there. If they get through 82 games and they play the entire season, that's huge. Because, yeah. I mean, just some of the things that came out in the bankruptcy hearing, one that stood out to me was that it was the first time when the NHL started changing its bid to say, well, we'll keep the team for a year, mm-hmm. but then we may have to pursue relocation, which to me, that was a bombshell, because leading up to those hearings, the idea of relocation, it was like one of the, I guess, make it eight dirty words for Gary Bettman.
Right.
You weren't going to relocate a team, period. So the fact that it even came up, yeah, I mean, this year could be an absolute nightmare. If they're going to be terrible on the ice, they're not going to draw fans, which is part of the problem. They need to improve. And if they don't draw the fans, it's going to be as clear as day that they don't belong there.
The only thing they have is to try and use it as a rallying cry, and just to try and, you know, look at the teammates next to you and your coaches and just to go out there and play for each other, because that may be the only shot they have, and it could be a worthwhile motivation for some of these players, but it's going to be an uphill battle for sure.
I think they're going to be a pretty easy 2 points for just about anybody on any given night.
I hate to agree with that, but and I hate to say the right. you know, I love the moral aspect of, hey guys, let's play for each other.
Yeah, I'm just saying that may be the only shot that they have, is if they take that attack.
But at the same time, if there becomes a point where payroll becomes an issue,
no, it won't.
It won't. Okay,
no, because one way or the other, If the Coyotes are playing, I mean, somebody's going to guarantee the
Someone
payroll.
Has
yeah,
to,
the
yeah.
NHL will come with money for the payroll. That's a given.
Still, that's not a question you want to worry about, or no. That's not something you want to worry about. Period.
That's why.
And that's a distraction.
Yeah,
if something like that comes out, then you know.
I don't think that's really the issue. I think everything else though that goes around with it. Because
I feel for them.
Well, lots could happen in a very short amount of time coming up, so we're definitely going to keep our eyes on what happens with the Phoenix saga. All right, let's move over to the up-and-coming Los Angeles Kings, who have slowly been making improvements year over year. Their young players are getting more and more experienced, and they're starting to make a little bit of noise in the standings. Could this be the year they make a lot of noise?
They improved a lot last year under Terry Murray. They really did. Basically, this was a youth movement in overdrive. But, you know, almost an entirely the roster was almost entirely made of players under 30 years old. They had issues again last year with their goaltending, but the goaltending started to improve at the end of last year with Eric Erzberg, and this kid Jonathan Quick was at the Team USA orientation camp. He could be the guy to get him through. I mean, they're looking at Jonathan Bernier as a goal of the future, but they still have to get there. I don't think he's quite ready for the NHL. He may be this year, but Quick could give him the bridge. Erzberg, their defense has Drew Doughty, who was really, to me, was the best rookie in the NHL last year.
Right.
You know, really for what he did on that team, the minutes he played, and the improvement he made as an 18-year-old was remarkable. A lot of good young talent up front. They added Ryan Smith, who's a veteran, really a heart and soul guy. He's the kind
That's
of guy.
Good fit.
It
yeah.
really is.
Good
if you're looking for a veteran who can really show you what it means to stick your nose in and get dirty and play the game hard, this is the guy you want. And they added Scuderi to the blue line. So I think they've made some nice pieces. They've added some really good pieces. They've showed a lot of improvement, but this is a team that is very steady about its progress. It wants to move in a direction and not divert from that. That's what they're doing. They took some big steps last year, and I think they could be one of the surprise teams this year, definitely.
Yeah, I like the moves with adding Scuderi and Smith. It seemed last year they were more than happy to let some of these kids just learn, develop. They didn't have the expectations.
Lunch, yeah.
And you know what? I think to some degree they're still going to take that path, because to expect a guy like Doughty to just suddenly become the number one workhorse defenseman in his sophomore year, that would be a little too much. So, you know what? It's something that I think they're a bubble team. I think that they could surprise, kind of like the St. Louis Blues did last year. I think that's kind of maybe where they stand, and I think that it would be because of the veteran players. As far as the goaltending, that to me is the biggest issue. But at the same time, I think it could be a benefit to them to have a lot of these young guys and have a competition going on between them, because or among them, if Bernier comes up and they decide to get him in the mix. So I think it's as long as they don't take a step back this year, standings wise and whatnot, I think it will, again, moral victory for the Kings, and they're going to be really strong in years to come. So it's just another step forward.
That would be really good for the NHL. Really,
yeah.
Good. I mean, more so even than Anaheim. I mean, to have the Kings do well in that market, if they really remember how it got when they made it to the finals with Gretzky. I mean, it was Hollywood celebrity. It became a happening thing.
Right,
That would be a real good thing.
Okay, let's shoot over to Dallas now as we zip through the Pacific Division. And what do we expect from this Dallas team this year? Are we going to get more of the same, or is this have we turned the ship around?
No, I think you're going to see a lot more low-key things. It's going to be because last year was a mess. Let's face it, the Sean Avery situation was a fiasco,
and it
ruined their season. But quite honestly, what really hurt them last year was injuries. They lost Morrow basically for almost the entire season. They lost Ledden for long periods of time. They lost a lot of players, and people tend to overlook how much of an impact that had in the season. You look at the standings, you say, well, they went from the conference finals down, they missed the playoffs, but they lost a lot of key players, and they had those distractions with Avery. Everything kind of went that could go wrong did go wrong last year for Dallas, and they cleaned house. Brett Hull's gone as the co-GM. Les Jackson's gone. Joe Nieuwendyk is in as a rookie GM, but somebody who's an Ivy League graduate with a brain who's been around the league a long time, and Mark Crawford. It was kind of a questionable hiring a coach, but he has won a Stanley Cup, so we'll see.
I think on paper they definitely have some strong top six, again assuming they stay healthy. And As far as defense goes, I think there will be a little bit of a question with some of their younger guys, because now that you have Zubov gone to Russia.
First time without him on that blue line for a long time for Dallas.
Right. Yeah.
But how many games has he played lately?
I was going to say, except for last year when he was
last year was a total mess.
Right, and the year before he missed this. Yeah. I mean, he's been missing, he's getting older, he missed a significant amount of games. But your point is well taken. It will be without him.
Yeah, so I think that, the young guys will need to step up. I think Turco's in a contract year. I think that is key for them, that they'll have to get a stellar performance from him, and especially after an off season or an off year, I should say. And with Dallas, the thing that I like is that I don't quite expect them to be singing Kumbaya in the locker room, but at the same time, I think the chemistry is, we're going to see more like the team I think we saw when they went to the conference finals. I think some of those veterans feel like maybe there is something to prove that, look, we do have a good unit here. And
it was a mess last year. It really was. But, I mean, again, these guys coming back, Morrow is a very, very good hockey player. Madonna still has something left. You got Brad Rich, you got Ribeiro. You have some talent there. You have some real talent. And, again, if it's healthy, you lose as much as the Stars did last year, and there's just no way. Yeah. But the other thing you mentioned, Turco. Turco really has not been the same goalie in the last two seasons. I thought two seasons ago he almost lost his job. Well, he did lose his job for a while to Mike Smith before Smith was packaged off in the Richards deal.
Right.
And last year, Turco was not a good goalie. I mean, he had a couple of stretches where he seemed to get out of his funk, but for the most part, he was struggling. His save percentage was under 9 last year.
It was bad.
Really. And, you have to wonder. I mean, again, nice guy, great ambassador for the game, great spokesman. He's great with the media, his fans and everything, no question about it. But his game definitely has slipped in the last couple of years. He is now, 32, 33, somewhere in his early 30s, early to mid-30s. You have to wonder if he still has the kind of game to be a number one goaltender and to do what the Stars need from him.
I do think, though, I guess we can't stress enough how much last year was a mess. He was one of the more vocal players when that whole situation started coming. So, to some degree, how much was he just distracted by that issue? But actually, one other thing to point out about the Stars, they have some pretty good young kids. So, if they can step up too, to have some depth there between Erickson and Brunstrom didn't have a great season. But
this is really a team that it's easy to forget because of last year, but I don't think they should be overlooked.
Sure. That's a good point.
I think, 2 years ago, the conference final appearance 2 years ago was probably more telling about what they can do than how they collapsed
last year.
I agree.
Sure.
But this is the year it's going to, kind of
they have
it
to do it.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so let's move over to Anaheim now, another solid team. What can we expect from the Ducks?
Fins.
Yeah. What's that?
Fins. You have Koivu and Solani. Or not Koivu. No. Koivu and Solani.
I think this team's a little more Perry and Ryan.
I do agree.
Well, that's,
I do
that's
agree.
That top line.
That's
you're
a
looking
stud
at
line.
Yeah, really. Getzlaf is going to be missing the first couple of weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. He's still recovering. He had some surgery. But you have Getzlaf, Perry, and Bobby Ryan. That's as good a line as you get in the NHL.
Yeah.
And then you have your second line with Koivu. I think you're going to see a change in him getting away from the pressure Montreal and playing on a second line where he's not the guy. But with Solani, there's going to be something that these two guys are have together, play together. And Joffrey Lupul on that line, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have a top six that's pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
And everybody looks at this team and says, well, they lost Pronger and Beauchemin, which is basically 50 minutes a night.
But the defense isn't shabby.
I don't think it's going to – I mean, you still have Scott Niedermeyer. So you have a guy who's a Norris Trophy winner. They brought in Ryan Whitney in the trade last year. I think it was for the Kunitz deal. He's still a quality defender. The first-round pick.
Sure.
Wisniewski looked very good in the playoffs last year. They brought in Nick Boynton, who didn't have a great year here.
Yeah.
But I think their defense is pretty good. I think they have some pretty good goaltending. I think you're going to see a big turnaround year from Jaguar this year. I really do, because he lost his job last year to Hiller, deservedly so. But, he has a lot of issues. His dad died last year. He's got health problems with his son. I think there were a lot of distractions last year, and he did not play that well. He lost his job, but I think he's anxious, especially this is his last year of his contract as well.
Yeah.
I think he wants to prove that he can still play and be a number one in the NHL.
Yeah, I think the one question I do have about him is I think Francois Allaire is gone, and Allaire was with him for pretty much his whole career in Anaheim. So I don't know that there would be that significant of a change. But
he
it
left
would be
the tape.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all he needs? Then that's fine. Yeah.
He's available. reach by phone call.
No, technically not, because he's with Toronto.
He's Toronto, yes. Yeah.
Burke's so, still, yeah, the tape.
The tape is there. Yes.
And then the notebook. The notebook is still there, I think.
So 27 goals last year from Teemu Selanne in only 65 games.
Yeah.
You know, is he just the machine that just keeps on going?
Yeah, it's looking.
I mean, yes, it's impressive what he's been able to do.
Yeah, and I think that's why he wants to have one more shot at getting another Stanley Cup in Anaheim, because he can still play. I mean, he's mm-hmm. actually, since he returned to Anaheim after the lockout, you know, he had the surgery, like his last years in Colorado were marred by injuries,
sure.
problems and everything. He straightened that out. He took a full year to recover.
Right.
And, you know, he's a very talented player. He's up there in years. He's getting, I guess he's about 38, 39.
Yeah, he's.
But he can still play. He can pick his spots. And a guy like Koivu, the two of them, they play together in Finland. They have a history together. They know each other. They're at the same maturity level, mm-hmm. I think. And I think, you know, they have the potential to be a real dangerous combination this year.
And we always bring up the Olympic factor. And again, you know, they're going to be competing for. Not that I think they'll be competing. Actually,
yeah,
they'll be on the finish team. If they're not, I'll be stunned. But still, the idea that, you know, again, kind of like Heatley and Thornton being
right.
a pair. You know, it's. Solani's possible. Well, I believe it's his last year. I believe he said this is it. So it's his.
He said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Team,
unless
yeah.
him, you know, if him and Koivu really connect and
more cash
and they play well enough to warrant some more money, then
what's that
$3
million dollars you have in front of?
Yeah, okay, you know what? I can probably put it. You know, it's 16 power play goals yeah. last year, which you know, obviously that's where you know he's going to get his
yeah.
chances.
And that's amazing, too, because you think of it, like, their first power play unit had to be Getzlaf, Perry, and Ryan for the most part. So
mm-hmm.
even, like, he was getting second power play time and still to be able to get that many goals. It's pretty impressive.
Sniper for a reason, I guess, right? All right, so that's going to wrap up the Pacific Division. Rejoicing by all. And so please check out this podcast and all our other preview podcasts that we've done, as well as all our other preview coverage on cbssports.com/NHL.